I would like to call to order the March 21st, 2017 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District. Lisa, would you please call the roll and note the time?
All right. Commissioner Brooks. Commissioner Lerman.
Here.
Commissioner Underdog.
Here.
Mr. Blatnick.
Here.
President Gaines.
Here.
7 o'clock. All right.
We have a number of consent agenda items. A through D are routine. I would recommend a motion. Does anyone, can we hear a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through D?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. We have a second? Thank you. Does any commissioner want any specific item pulled from any of these consent agenda items? Okay. I entertain a motion to approve them as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay, roll call.
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes. Are there any matters from the public this evening?
Yeah, I have a couple. I'm Josh Lutton. At one of the previous board or committee meetings, the status of the park at Jefferson and
Josh, can you stop the recording?
At one of the previous board or committee meetings, the status of the park at Jefferson and Vernon was discussed. Is that it?
There you go.
And I wanted to know if staff or the board had considered an accelerated replacement program. I know that one option is to consider it for action in 2018, starting with the July capital budgeting process. And I'm wondering if staff or the board have considered an accelerated option to replace that.
My response would be from the discussions I have had with staff, I let them know that with my 30 years this month experience in Glencoe, that actually has been a popular park pretty much for all of its life there with the community, and that we should try to get it back online as soon as we can. With the amount of repair work that's going to need, it's going to be very similar to doing a regular park restoration, and as such would require that we go through our normal process. I think from talking with some of the folks here that we are giving that, that would be the accelerated process, short of a private infusion of funds, because we have to go through the capital budget. We've already done that for the projects we're undertaking now, as you're aware of. So that will be on the very next budget processing for new projects for the very next building season.
So you don't think it's appropriate to reprioritize given the budgets that have already been set and the priorities?
I would be happy to entertain conversation from staff and the other commissioners if they wanted to do that. That is certainly a valuable asset to the community. I don't know how quickly we could, you know, get that done with redesigning a whole new park, and would have to rely on staff's input for that.
I think the question is appropriate to send to special projects and facilities.
Okay.
Thank you. With respect to the second question, I only have two. I saw in the minutes from the discussion about parking here that took place, was it last week, or I guess it was last week, that one of the proposals was using the skate park for a parking lot. And I wanted to ask again the board or staff if they have given any consideration to expanding the footpath that's currently from Maple Hill to to the playground back over here, and then that continues to the parking lot. Because coming to Takeoff Center on foot, I'm just going to turn this off. On foot or on bicycle from the south or the east is pretty intimidating, because you have to go through that narrow part of Green Bay Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if part of the parking problems could be alleviated by making it more welcoming for people to arrive here on bicycle or on foot rather than building more parking lots. And that may also address some of the sustainability questions that were also raised at that meeting about a week ago.
Okay, thank you. We had a site plan that we were going to be looking at for this whole
thing. You don't have a fee yet, a charge for
that. Right, but that is something that we should mention to the site plan people at one point.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. At this point, we should look into the financial report. We've 12 months of the fiscal year are complete.
Absolutely. In your packet, you will see a comparison to the previous 2 years. As we kind of alluded with our later board meeting in the month of February, there wasn't a whole lot that changed in the course of a couple of days. The numbers that you show in your packet, the one thing that they don't reflect would be any accrued payables that come in the month of March and even into early April prior to the auditors finalizing their work. So those numbers will change slightly. The projected numbers actually in your budget are probably a more realistic look at how we're projecting to end as a final 228 versus the actual physical date of 228 happening. So those adjustments will be reflected in the audited financials that, of course, the auditors will come and audit. But again, no surprises. Obviously, we've talked about the beach having a wonderful season. Closing lots early did impact revenues at the end of the year. We're still probably going to be better than budgeted for that. And recreation programs did, you know, as we talked, kind of ebbed and flowed. And we, with our winter registration, we actually did catch up and are better than last year at this point in time, even knowing that we had kindergarten lost revenues. So I think overall it looks pretty good. And as I mentioned, the auditors will be out actually next week to do some preliminary testing and then out again in April to do their final field work.
Thank you for your leadership in getting the budget put together again. It really continues to look strong and fiscally conservative. Thank you.
Thank you, by the way, for shepherding the Park District at such a strong financial position as we close out the fiscal year. I think that is an important thing for the community to know this Park District is great financial shape. Thanks to staff, thanks to the board, and thanks to the leadership.
The next item on the agenda is a little bit unusual from what we normally do, and I think that this is an appropriate and important topic for us to simply and publicly state. I was contacted by the village commissioners, village trustee president Larry Levin a few weeks back, and he had been alerted that the heads of various government entities throughout Lake County had adopted a resolution of welcoming and inclusiveness. And he suggested that the heads of the various governing bodies in Glencoe consider that amongst their commissions and their staff to make a similar pledge. And we are trying to state in a most positive way through this pledge that Glencoe is and always has been a community of inclusiveness, a community of welcoming, a community that is interested in all of our neighbors and their wonderful backgrounds. So I would like to entertain a motion to approve Resolution 860 to support the welcoming and inclusive community pledge as presented.
Do you want to read the pledge?
Yeah. I would be happy to read the pledge to you, please. I pledge to stand against hate and discrimination and affirm that Lake County, excuse me, this is the pledge that they had adopted. We are obviously going to change this for ours.
I'm sorry, where's ours?
Yes. Let's
there
go
is.
With ours. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Okay, quick roll back here. I pledge to stand against hate and discrimination and affirm that Glencoe should be and is a welcoming community for all. I am proud of Glencoe and our country's diversity, and I recognize that at every level of American society, people of all backgrounds have fundamental rights and principles upon which the United States was founded. Establishing the equality and dignity of all people, regardless of their background. I condemn any verbal or nonverbal attacks, harassment, or intimidation based on race, ethnicity, color, immigration or refugee status, religion or creed, gender or sexual orientation, age, mental or physical disability, veteran status, or other social identities, as well as discourse that disrespects or degrades people's identities, needs, and beliefs. From our schools to our neighborhoods and our government buildings, Lincoln must be a place that respects our differences and believes that diverse perspectives create better outcomes.
So, can I make a motion to approve resolution number 860 as presented?
Certainly. Do we have a...
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
It's a ridiculous question, but I noticed that the word country is capitalized, and I'm pretty sure it shouldn't be. I mean, if we're going to... I mean, country is a common noun.
Sure. We'll make it lowercase.
Okay.
We'll make that correction.
I defer that to your input and guidance. Thank you. Okay.
So there's a motion on the table. I guess we need a second.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I say something?
Yes.
I want to commend the president. This is your connection with getting this on the agenda. This is a wonderful pledge. It's something that in this time that our country's going through, it's very important for everyone to take a stand. And I'm proud that this board is taking this stand at this time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lehrman?
Yes.
Mr. Underdunk?
Yes.
Mr. Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
I'd like to also direct you to that signboard, which we will be putting in our lobby, asking other, you know, participants, residents to sign also our pledge.
Great.
You sign it when you leave, yes.
The village is also considering this as well?
They have already passed it.
They've already adopted it.
Yes.
Now we'll move on to approval of resolution 861. Rose Pepe is not here tonight, but we would like to read the resolution and entertain a motion to adopt that resolution, honoring her 10 years of service to the Park District and to the community. Glencoe Park District 10-year service resolution number 861. Whereas Rose Pepe was employed by the Glencoe Park District on the staff of the Children's Circle program beginning on March 21st, 2006, whereas Rose has been a vital part of the Children's Circle staff in which she has, over the years, brought new ideas and perspective to the Glencoe Park District. And whereas her service, passion, and mentoring abilities have been an asset to the Children's Circle program and the Glencoe Park District. And whereas Rose has served the Glencoe Park District in a loyal and faithful manner for 10 years. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognize the meritorious service of Rose Pepe and record it in the permanent records of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage. Adopted this 21st day of March 2017, pursuant to a roll call vote as follows. So the motion has been established. We need to have a...
Who made the motion?
So moved.
Thank you.
Okay. Brooks?
So you made the motion.
I made the motion.
Thank you.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lehrman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes. And we're very happy that Tom McDonald is able to be here and to join us this evening. Thank you, Tom. And we're thrilled that we have the opportunity to approve Resolution 862, which is recognizing Tom's 20 years of service here at the Glencoe Park District. So I would like to invite one of our commissioners to make a motion to approve Resolution 862.
I'll make the motion. We're going to read it, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make the motion.
And I'll step in.
Thank you.
Wait, I'm going to read off there.
Okay. I can read off there. I'm okay. Not going to get any thumbprints on it. Certificate of Appreciation awarded to Tom McDonald. Glencoe Park District 20-year service resolution number 862. Whereas Tom McDonald was employed by the Glencoe Park District on the staff of the Parks and Facilities Team beginning on February 10, 1997. Whereas Tom has been a vital part of the Parks and Facilities Team, in which he has over the years provided thoughtful stewardship and conservation to the natural spaces of the Glencoe Park District. And whereas his service, passion, and skill as the Park District horticulturalist has been an asset to the Glencoe Park District. And whereas Tom has served the Glencoe Park District in a loyal and faithful manner for 20 years, now therefore be it resolved, the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognize the meritorious service of Tom McDonald and record it in the permanent record of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. The resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage, adopted this 21st day of March 2017, pursuant to a roll call vote as follows.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underduck?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
We have Tom come up. Oh,
that's for you, sir.
I have a photo op.
Okay, Lisa, did you want to grab a picture in here, too?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you can
get in there, too, Chris.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, photo op.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Appreciate it.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's very nice.
That's good.
That's good stuff. That's,
yeah.
Good. That's good stuff.
That's the good stuff. Now, you told me we were supposed to pick on Chris Liner now.
We're supposed to pick on Chris Liner.
No, yep. We're going to pick on Mike first. Just wanted to get Chris nervous.
I know. He's just like, what? Okay, staff reports.
Okay.
We'll just go down the line.
I'd like to start by introducing a guest. We have Jacqueline Cunningham here tonight. She's got a homework assignment she's working on. She's the infant teacher in the jellyfish room. So she's been in the Park District for about 7 months?
Yeah, since September.
So just wanted to introduce her.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Nice
thank you for coming.
Way to put it on the spot.
I know. We asked.
Otherwise, we're very excited to announce that our before and after school program has received a $1,000 grant from the Illinois Association of Parks. We received, it's called a Power Play Grant, and it's $1,000 for a before and after school program that promotes healthy initiatives. So we're going to use the money to buy gross motor equipment, outdoor play equipment, sports equipment, so that we can continue to promote healthy lifestyles for our before and after school participants. So that was a very exciting award we got just last week. Additionally, the beach and boathouse is in full swing. Chris's staff has done an awesome job getting the boathouse ready to go. It looks phenomenal. You guys are going to be very excited to see that this year. And the voter renewal forms went out last week, so we debuted our online form for that. Which has been going pretty well so far. You know, got to work out some of the kinks with the new technology, but in general, it's been pretty well received, and we've already got people coming in and renewing their spots, so that's going really well. And then last thing is the camp enrollment is going very well as well. We've done much better with deferred revenue that was taken in before March 1st. And what we think we can attribute that to is this is the first time we've put in the camp information in whole in our winter brochure instead of just a preview. Mm-hmm. So we think that might have something to do with it as well, but the numbers are very good so far for camps.
Wonderful.
Any questions? All right, Carol, let's go ahead.
You know, I honestly have just been, it's budget, end of the year, audit, so I'm pretty much already spoke during the financial part, so unless you have any specific questions.
Actually, your staff has done a phenomenal job. We are, as you know, the three department heads are working very closely together to make sure that we have capability of doing passes down at the beach this year, accept credit cards, so that is really no easy feat. So they've been working really hard as a team for probably 6 to 9 months to pull that off. So, you know, thank you to three of them. That will be a nice welcome change. We'll be able to track a lot better the participation and taking credit cards, not having to turn people away and tell them to go downtown will be a welcome mm-hmm. customer service change. So.
Is there going to be Wi-Fi at the beach at some point?
Not right now. That would cost, we looked into it, extreme amount of money for that short of term. Right, what did they say it was? I can't remember.
Plus we'd have to, right now we just have three workstations that we're going to be having, so to open it up to public Wi-Fi is really a lot more expensive. But we thought people are coming to the beach to kind of relax. And
yeah, it works for us. So.
Otherwise it's unplug and play.
I was just about to say that.
Hello.
Hello. Unplug and play.
Unplug and play.
Exactly.
I have actually just one question.
Sure, please.
At what point were you going to make a brief mention on the wonderful mission and goals report? That
oh, am I?
Okay. Yeah. I had a comment at that point.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Chris?
It's that exciting time of the year where everyone is thinking about outdoor athletics and there's still snow on the ground. So, it's been a bit of a challenge trying to fit everything in. Obviously, staff has been able to spend some significant time down at the boathouse, and we're really excited to really debut a facility that is going to look very different than, we've seen in previous years. I'm excited to say that we've, converted the facility over to LED fixtures. We're working to refresh the bathroom areas, including new tile floors, new windows. So I'm looking forward to seeing some new paint, lockers, benches out on the deck. So definitely taking some of that that revenue and reinvesting it back into the facility. Other things that we've been out working on, obviously working out in the parks, we're looking to see the Jefferson and Vernon playground coming down end of this week, beginning of next, the wood play structure, as we previously discussed. So we made some minor repairs in the wildflower sanctuary to the bridge, but I'm excited to say that Verdon Clock has been out and formally set the time on the clock at the Thaca Center, which is quite the process. So now that the clock has been formally set, we've closed the door on that project and we're moving forward on other projects. I've been working on replacing the Thaca BAS system as well as Watts indoor flooring. So any questions? Dudley?
The Jefferson and Vernon site, I believe there's still going to be a swing there, is
correct.
That correct?
That's
so,
correct.
So what we've targeted for removal is the wooden timber form structure. So what will remain is the swing set, several sprung toys, the sandbox, and the Glencoe-style swing in the wood frame for the time being.
And that's the best that we can do. I was around when the Park District made the last repairs or reinstalled that wood. And the Park District absolutely followed best practices, and that's what people were installing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We had every expectation that that would last, as long as we were told it would. And lo and behold, we found out in this area, with this climate, it stressed and wore that wood out faster than anyone. And even those of us that have spent good money at our own home residential from the guy on 41 have found we got 5 years out of those, not the 10 or 15.
Mm-hmm. So, the forecasted replacement window on that is 15 to 20 years. That one's at 12. So it's certainly not our oldest wooden playground. So that's why it
could be in a wetter area or something.
Well, wet, shade, and lots of different environmental conditions can impact the drainage, things of that nature. So
we're very sensitive to the concerns in the community on that, and that is something that we all want to get moving on as we're able.
As you know, we have a lot of wooden playground structures in our inventory, and as Chris has mentioned quite a few times, that we know that within 5 years they will all fail. It's kind of our best guesstimate based on age, when these ones are going to fail, and when we're going to replace those as fast as we can. So, this unfortunately came up faster than we thought on the scale, without a doubt. All right, anything else?
Any additional questions?
Nice job. The guys have been working very hard. It is a hard time of year. Everybody wants to be out on the fields, and it's still quite wet. All right, Erin.
We're kind of transitioning into spring. The spring brochure and the Glencoe Quarterly just went out, so we're starting to move into marketing those spring programs and special events. So that's all I got.
Great. All right. All right. Well, now we need to move to my report. So, yes, as you see in the board report, I think it was January, the board approved the goals for the coming fiscal year. And then it's the staff's job to put objectives to those goals. So there's team goals, there's individual goals that we are working towards. We'll give you, I think, a 6-month update on these. Not to mention that we do add objectives as the year goes on, as things come up and things change within our district. So you have a question on them?
Yes.
Or comments?
I typically go through the packet that I receive a week before the meetings looking for gaps in what we have been thinking about doing, looking for any problems and projects that are coming up. And I really like how this is relatively new to do it in this much detail and this formally. And I can't tell you how proud I am of the contributions of every department and every team member. I was looking for something, some little area that was going to slip through the cracks. This is very comprehensive. I was truly proud and somewhat overwhelmed. I went through everything going, wow, this was, I've never seen anything like that. This was truly remarkable.
So
thank you.
I'll chime in with that. You guys, one of the things staff has to be committed on is this ability to do very good project management and being organized, having lists, having deadlines, assignments, responsibilities has allowed this district to accomplish a lot of things in a short amount of time. So.
Sure.
Thank you for your organization skills and your project management skills.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Anything else on that? All right. As I emailed the board, the NSSRA Shining Stars Awards and Recognition Banquet is on April 21st. The Park District has been awarded the Partner of the Year Award. So if you have never gone to that banquet, it's wonderful. You learn a lot about their programs. You see a lot of their participants. It's truly a wonderful event. So again, please let me know if you'd like to attend.
I will let you know.
Okay.
I would like to attend. That's my anniversary, and I have to make sure I'm not getting in trouble.
Yeah, she can come too.
That's what I'm thinking.
Do we have a meeting? No, we don't. We have a meeting on the 20th.
We do not have a. It's a Friday night. Yeah. Yeah. Northbrook Agreement, we are once again entering into our partnership with the Northbrook Park District. So that partnership allows Northbrook residents to get resident rates at our beach and Glencoe residents to get resident rates at the pool. It's a nice partnership. We both have resources. We don't have a pool. They don't have a beach. It's a great partnership
and
together.
And you think they will have a pool?
Yes.
By the summer.
Yes.
They've been working hard on it.
They have been
project.
Working hard. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They're still scheduled to open sometime when school gets out.
Yep.
Terrific.
You haven't heard any different, right? Nope. Yep.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
A way to encourage, I mean, I just don't see 18 Glencoe residents to participate is really enough to justify this arrangement. And might there be a way we could encourage Glencoe residents to take advantage of this? Because it's just not being used. I mean, it's being used on their end, but it's not.
Yeah, they're coming to us. I mean, that, yeah. I would say, is a benefit. I do work with their marketing department. And we have done cross emails for each other and stuff, but
it's interesting because it goes from 155 to 18.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe it's not working out on our part.
Well, it doesn't cost the park district any dollars.
Actually, yes.
We don't get the non-resident fees of them, but there's no saying that they would not. They might just do dailies as opposed to that. So you're right. There may be some of that benefit. So what we can do is we can put it through social media and some other avenues like that, our web blast, to see if we can drum up.
Why 155 the first year?
That's actually very common in pools. You know, the first couple of years they open, or first couple of years of agreement, everybody's like, oh, this is great, and then they maybe find out they don't use it as much.
I wonder what time the Wanger JCC indoor pool opened up.
This is outdoor pool.
I understand.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
For families that are joining because they're also interested in potential swimming lessons besides recreational swimming, I see a lot of Glencoe families over there.
Yeah.
I wonder, too, if that new pool they are building might drum up more interest as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Yeah. There's definitely a possibility.
Good. Do they give us a full page in the brochure like you did that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
thank you.
But we'll keep on monitoring that and revisit it next year. The next one is capital projects. As we have been talking about, we have a lot of projects that we've been planning for quite a while. Everything's moving on track for approval. The one thing I did want to bring up is that after we talked at the last special projects meeting, President Gaines and I spoke because it was a clear direction that we may want to look for a parking site plan for this site conceptual plan. So, for example, the maintenance area would stay there. Look at the flow in and out of the parking lot, things like that. And so, whatever we recommend going ahead with the parking lots, we know that those won't have to be ripped out when we do phase 2, 3, or 4 going down the line. So we haven't received back a quote on what that would cost yet, but we are looking into that possibility and the assurance of whatever we do doesn't mean we have to rip it out in the future.
So one thing, just the date of the next special projects meeting is Thursday, April 6th.
Yes, that's April 2nd. That's what I was about to point out to you.
That is correct. I stand corrected. It is April 6th.
Thank you.
2nd is a Sunday.
That's what I was going to say.
At 6:30.
And we're going to get, President Gaines is going to be able to get some of the materials before that evening so he can look at it and provide some input, at least some initial input.
We hope so. Mm-hmm. We're running on a tight set schedule, so I don't know how much in advance he'll be able to get it, but I know he'll be in town, so
right.
He just has the difference. Yes.
Yeah, as we're looking at the placement of parking and access to the building, I'd like us to consider the idea of not just a parking plan, but perhaps a circulation plan that would also take into account of bicycle access and pedestrian.
Correct, that is part of it also.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay, the gold medal application was sent in after
a lot of... Oh, it was already sent in.
It's already sent in. It was a phenomenal application. Once we'll know in April.
End of April.
End of April for a finalist. So keep your fingers crossed on that one. Just trying to think if there's anything else I want to highlight on this. I think the rest of it's pretty straightforward. Any other questions? All right.
Terrific. So now we have a variety of action items. These items have all come out of various committees and previous discussions. The board should be fully up to speed on them. I would like to hear for a motion on the approval of the fiscal year 2017-18 budget approval draft as presented. Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Thank you for putting the budget together. That is a yeoman's job and very underappreciated.
It's very fun.
Thank the rest of the staff sitting here. I would like to just point out that this is the approval of the working budget that we obviously adhere to. And then the next step is the budget appropriations ordinance, which is the official document that is filed with the county clerk's office. It is on display for 30 days before we can officially approve that. I know, Mr. Lerman, you actually saw it in the offices yesterday, and it is on public display in the administrative office and down in the front counter. So the working draft of the budget, just to highlight and to give a summary form for those of you in the audience, our operating budget is approximately $9.2 million. Our capital budget is another $3.1 million for a total budget of a little over $12.3 million this year. So we have a lot of capital items. I know our capital budget increased dramatically from last year's budgeted by about what's over 20% increase. So we are doing a lot, and I just wanted to give a summary before you officially approve.
Thank you.
Commissioner Brooks.
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Plannick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
Okay.
And then our next agenda item here is to approve the Precor Fitness Equipment as the prime supplier through their folks. Did you have a... It's Precor Fitness is the equipment.
Yes.
It's not the name of the distributor.
Right. No, we're just using Precor Fitness right now.
Okay.
I entertain a motion to approve Precor Fitness equipment, yeah.
I would like to hear a motion to approve Precor Fitness equipment to be used in the new Park District fitness area in an amount not to exceed $100,000 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Any discussion?
I have a question.
Please.
Is this, we're not actually buying the equipment in this motion.
Not at this motion right now.
We looked into renting the equipment?
We talked about it at the special projects meeting. Mm-hmm. We did a presentation, and I believe you got a copy of that. And it showed the cost-benefit ratio of leasing compared to buying, and staff recommended buying over leasing, that in the long run, it would be much more cost-effective and purchased to do so.
And so this gives staff the okay to go ahead with the negotiations and get a specific bid?
Yes. Well, we don't have to go to bid, as I mentioned. They're part of it. But we will get a specific number for you to approve when we actually finish off exactly what we want to purchase for that room. But what we're saying is we're going with Precor, because Precor has certain technical elements that we want to make sure that we include in our construction when we're designing the facilities. We make sure we do that. We'll bring back probably in the April meeting the list of equipment finalized after getting some more input. We had some at the last meeting, exactly what we want to put in that room, and then when we actually go to purchase it to pay out Direct Fitness, we'll have that motion to approve that final cost.
I want to thank staff for spending some time with some of us so we could understand that the fitness equipment has moved a lot beyond what I have in my basement.
Excellent. All right. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lehrman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
All right.
Now we come to the annual landscaping bid. I entertain a motion from the commissioners to approve the landscaping bid for a one-year contract with Flex Landscaping, which will include $47,012 for mowing of identified sites and a $35 hourly labor rate at an estimated $86,800 for general horticulture and landscape labor as presented. Excuse me for a moment. The typical procedure would be for someone to say so moved, second, and then we would call for discussion.
Sorry. So moved.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Yes. Could you just talk about whether this is a significant difference from last year and why that might be?
That's a great question. So the labor portion of it, the $35 an hour labor rate, is not a significant difference from last year. The cost of it is, but the actual premise that we're going to be sourcing contractual laborers with equipment to be directed by our staff is the same as last year. The mowing, on the other hand, previously we had an hourly rate for mowing. So what we were finding was that we were getting the less than efficient crews because we were paying by the hour. So if you're going to mow 100 acres and you show up with a push mower, you're not going to be as efficient. So now we've moved to a per mow cost. So if that contractor takes 2 hours to mow that site or 20 minutes, they're going to get paid the same amount. So that per mow cost also allows us to really capture the expense of each area. And at the same time, if we have drought conditions, we know, okay, if the grass isn't growing, we're not going to be mowing. So we can, instead of having staff showing up at 7 o'clock in an hourly contract and having to direct them to stay busy. So it takes the load of managing 2 out of 4 of the contractors basically off the plate of the staff, and it's a more efficient contract.
It's basically a fixed fee for the mowing.
Yes. It's a fixed fee per week per site, and that number of 47,000 is all of our sites based over an 18-week mowing season.
This is a cost savings to us by doing it this way, for sure.
It's a little bit more.
Right? It's a little bit more, but I think that we're going to find that we have a little bit more control, and at the same time, we're going to be able to evaluate the contract and make decisions moving forward based with all the information in front of us.
And there's probably some...
The landscape work is done in the direction of staff, right?
The hourly labor rate is directly overseen by staff, yes. So the mowing itself, it's like a contractor at your house.
They come and they do it.
They come and they do
it. The landscape, you say, we're going to do this now, and somebody's...
Correct. So if we say we're going to tend to this flower bed today, go there at 7 o'clock, you need to be done by 9 o'clock, here's the tools you need. The laborers themselves are almost managed like an extension of our staff. But it's a staff that we don't have to pay workman's comp for, we don't have unemployment costs, we don't have the cost of maintaining their vehicle. So the $35 an hour labor rate, while it may seem high, is probably a cost savings based if we had our own employee in that role.
Exactly.
Roll call. call vote then, please?
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
All right.
I entertain a motion to approve the purchase of the 2017 F-250 pickup truck for $33,698 and the purchase of an F-450 dump truck for $46,279 from Landmark Ford of Springfield, Illinois, as presented. Is there anyone?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Any discussion?
Does this replace equipment that's going out of service?
Two vehicles are going out of service, two new vehicles are coming into service, yes.
And we surplus those and sell them?
Correct.
Yeah,
okay.
Correct.
One thing that might be helpful for the public to know is how we relate to the state bidding process to get the lowest price.
So the state of Illinois has a what's called a joint purchasing program. So basically the state does the work for us. They put together a legal bid where they estimate that 300 F-250 dump trucks are going to be purchased, and different dealerships apply for that bid. The bid is opened at the state level, and then we're given, we're basically given access to it as a unit of local government. We do pay a small fee of $200, but we capture a significant savings in the sense that we're not putting our own legal bid together. There isn't, we're able to really capture, the F-250 pickup truck we're getting is basically like a standard unit that you would see across all municipalities. It's not specific to Glencoe, so we're not really paying a markup on that. So we do try to buy as much of our equipment as we can through joint purchasing because there is a significant savings on it.
And I believe the village and some of the other municipalities I work with.
They are. The village is
a school district.
Pretty much all of them are.
The joint purchasing.
And we would all like to be able to get in on that, but the park is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that F-250 yes. pickup truck is probably at a 20% discount to what you would see MSRP.
Right.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Vote.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes. And the board doesn't get to recommend colors or anything.
Nope.
Oh. Red is faster, I'm just saying.
Right. I won't allow to get red.
Got a few more,
go red.
We have a few more consent agenda items. I would entertain hearing a motion to approve the purchase of the Dodge Grand Caravan for $22,536 from Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, Illinois, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Is that a mini? What is it?
We're replacing that Jeep Grand Cherokee or whatever that's been in the fleet for decades, it seems.
Yeah.
So it's a minivan.
So we're going from an SUV to a minivan?
Yes.
And that's going to give us more room,
flexibility?
Yes, to transport children and supplies.
We don't need the Hillary bus, we can use this.
Yes.
Okay. Or when the Hillary bus is in use and we need additional.
Well, that's what he just said. Yeah, when we don't use the Hillary bus, we use this. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes. The last of the consent agenda items is the biannual review that we did before this meeting started of the closed session minutes. And I'm looking for a motion to approve and keep confidential the executive session minutes, including April 18th, 2016.
October 18th.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. October 18th, 2016. November 15th, 2016. January 17th, 2017. And February 28th, 2017. As mandated by 5 ILCS 120/2. (C)(21). Thank you.
So who was it?
In a second. Dudley
okay.
made the motion.
Second.
And seconded by Lisa.
All right. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
All right.
Is there any other business that we need to address at this time from the commissioners or staff?
We do have, we actually going into the remainder of our report, which is, oh, it's not on here. That's funny. Okay, we're going to have the take-up report that Mike and Paul, I apologize, they're not on the agenda memo, Mike and Paul are going to give our, this is, as the board discussed, our monthly, what the heck, our monthly report for, that we're going to be doing from now on. So this month is take-up. After we give this report, if anybody would like a take-up tour, we are going to do that also. So turn it over to Mike and Paul.
I was mentioning that it would be great to do a take-up tour after the new commissioners have been elected and seated. That would be terrific, I think.
We could do it
sooner.
Because we're going to have meetings with them, so we can do that also.
Okay, I would like to get another fresh tour.
Sure. Okay, go ahead.
So, like I said, introducing Paul Gendron, our take-up
yes, please.
Manager. Today, we're going to jump into an overview from everything to the building condition, how to market brand, staffing, how the facilities use, the feedback we get from patrons, financial information, and facility usage, which we found really exciting. The one thing, this report was a little difficult to do because we wanted to get into the weeds on a lot of the programming that goes on here. We said, oh, fitness, talk about fitness class. This is not about programming, this is about the building. So hopefully this report will leave you actually wanting a little more in terms of programming, which you're gonna get throughout the next couple of months as we present different areas of the right department. So keep in mind that this is about the facility and not the programs in the facility as we go through this. So to get started, I'm gonna talk a little bit about Chris and his team role in the Vegas Center. Obviously, a big part of it is about the capital project. As most people know, we just recently completed the roof and clock tower renovation of this facility. But in addition, Chris and his team do a lot of, I don't want to say routine capital projects because that's a little contradictory, but things like counter replacements, floor replacements, parking lot improvements are things that are needed to keep the building in good repair, to keep programs running smoothly, and to keep the facilities an attractive place for rentals. So those happen every year, depending on the need and the replacement that they have set up. Upcoming, obviously, we're looking at fitness area parking improvements, as well as building system upgrades, as well as more routine projects, like we mentioned above. In terms of upkeep, Chris and his team do a great job doing routine cleaning and repairs. He has a facility specialist who does preventative maintenance on HVAC units, changes out light bulbs, does basic electrical plumbing repairs. And then his staff also is responsible for roof setups and breakdowns for programs and rentals, which when you see how much facility use is getting accomplished here, is actually no easy feat throughout a normal week. So, Chris, did I miss anything?
No, I think you were very, very thorough.
Great. So in terms of marketing and branding, Erin plays a huge role in the marketing and branding of everything we do. And again, the majority of her time is spent on marketing all the different programs and special events that are taking place throughout the year, from early childhood to camps to enrichment programs. But in addition, what you guys just received is the celebrations and special occasions packet that we have, which is what we use to try and market our facility for rentals and special events. Because we have so many unique spaces, we have a beautiful community hall, we have a gym, we have community rooms, we really like to market the fact that we have a whole bunch of unique areas in this facility that are very nice for renting. Erin also works on facility signage with Paul, wayfaring signs, making sure directional signage is up to date. Her and Paul, the programming team, also do a very good job of swapping out promotional signage so that we're always advertising the next upcoming special event or the next round of programming or a program that needs more enrollment. So in using the cross-promotion aspect of this facility where you have a parent that might be dropping someone off for basketball, we might be showing a fitness flyer to. Or someone who enrolled in Children's Circle who's getting a flyer for the special event that's coming up the next weekend. So the fact that there's so much in one building really allows us to cross-promote. The last thing we have is a reach screen up at the front, which is not only an additional marketing tool, but also a wayfaring tool that shows the facility schedule throughout the day as it's linked to the registration software, the facility booking software that we use to book, that Paul uses to book rooms. So with that, I'll turn it over to Paul and let him talk more about usage.
Yes, so first we're going to talk about staffing. So with a large building, we have a number of full-time and part-time staff. So we'll start with the facility staff led by Bill Eldridge. So he oversees a full-time facility trade specialist and then the custodial staff, which consists of two full-time and five part-time staff. rentals, birthday parties, logistics of the buildings, those sorts of things. And then I directly oversee the rental attendants and the building supervisors. So rental attendants, birthday party attendants, we have four of those, and then we have a weeknight building supervisor, and then a weekend building supervisor as well that you'll see at the front desk. Customer service staff, led by Larissa Wild, she's our office manager. So she oversees our full-time and permanent part-time front desk staff, as well as our permanent part-time early childhood customer service staff. So then within the building, obviously we have a lot of program instructors and teachers. So we have our ELC teachers, our children's circle teachers, and then program staff, which include all the program instructors, coaches, those sorts of things. Getting into the facility usage a little bit, for this presentation, we decided to break it down school year and summer. So it just kind of separates the year a little bit better. So within the school year, obviously, we have our ELC and Children's Circle programs that take place Monday through Friday. Enrichment program, which takes place all days of the week. Ceramics programming. Basketball is our biggest youth athletic league for sure. That kicks off with clinics in about middle of December, and then actually just finished up last weekend. So that keeps the gym super, super busy. Practices, games, clinics. Fitness, we have it in the school year, but we also have that year-round as well. In the summer, the building takes on a little different atmosphere. With summer camps, we kind of open up the building to them. So they really, they use our enrichment rooms, they're up here in the hall, they're in the gym, they're in our activity rooms. We really kind of just open up the building with whatever they need to make camp successful. We give them that space. Children's Circle runs year-round, so they have, they're obviously down there still. Special events, we have a number of special events throughout the year. We have some larger ones and then some smaller ones. The larger events, Food Bash, Unplug and Play, Family Fun Fest, that's really where we get, 250 and up participants. So those are definitely the larger ones. They use many areas within the building, so they'll be in the gym, they're in the activity rooms, they're up here in the community rooms, they're in fitness studios. It really just depends on the types of activities we plan out for the event, we open up those spaces to them. Smaller events, teddy bear picnic, mother son date night, patron sip nights, those are more in a certain area of the building. Paint and sip, that'll be down on the arts wing, those sorts of areas. So, the building is used for a lot of special events that are pretty popular. So to keep the building in use and keep people coming in and out, we have a lot of rentals. So Congregation Taco Truck, they're here Tuesdays and Sundays throughout the school year. Tuesdays, they pretty much use this whole wing of the building. And then on Sundays, they're throughout the whole building using, they pretty much take over the majority of the building. At Properties, they've been here about as long as I've been working here. They hold weekly trainings up here in the community wing of the building on Thursdays. But then throughout the year, they also hold multiple other trainings in the other community rooms, and then they'll also use the hall for their larger meetings. Wiggle Worms, that is a infant through about 4 years old music type program. Old town folk music from the city. They come up here and hold classes. So it's very popular. They've been here for years and years. North Shore New Horizons Band, it's a seniors band that holds weekly practices down in the activity room here. So they, we've been here again for years. We have great working relationships with them. Our place in New Trier, that's a special needs group out of New Trier Township, that they have basketball practices here. They've also been in and out of fitness and dance studios. They hold different types of programming here throughout the year. They also have their huge fundraiser event here down in the gymnasium, so we really work really really well with them, roll out the red carpet or whatever they're really looking to do here. So throughout the year, we have, you know, many rentals, whether they be small birthday parties or larger, like bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, those sorts of things. So we have multiple birthday party packages, ranging from, you know, sports party to an animal show party, ceramics parties.
Are they mostly in this room, or do sometimes people rent them too?
So for the birthday parties, it really depends on, are you talking birthday parties or more rentals?
Birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, or
something like that. Sure. So for like the bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, they're typically up here. Sometimes we're down in the gym. When was it? Over the winter, we had one that actually used the lobby in the gym. So, you know, really work with the event planners to really cater to what people are looking to do. Absolutely. So, bar mitzvahs, we have a few of those every year. We also typically have a couple wedding receptions up here in the hall as well. You know, on top of that, we really just work with the people that are inquiring to find the correct space and really, you know, find what will work for them and make sure that we can cater to the party and get them in the correct space. You know, we have large birthday parties down at the gym. We had a really cool one over the summer that the woman did an 80s type theme, so it was just pretty wild. So we really work closely with those renters to make sure that, you know, we present the facility in the way that they want us. So a little bit on feedback. So 14% of people who signed up for programs at Take It did so because of the convenient location. Obviously, it's very centrally located in Glencoe, easy access for people, so it's a great feature. 97% of people who took classes at Take It agreed that it was clean and good repair. Chris's staff, Bill's staff do a phenomenal job of making sure the building is in, you know, tip-top shape. 93% had a good or very good overall experience at their program at Take It. You know, obviously that includes instructors, those sorts of things as well. But, you know, making sure that the facility is in good shape obviously leads to that high satisfaction score as well. Parking is noted as an area for improvement. Obviously, it's already been talked about, improving that aspect of the building. People have noted that as well. So for rental and birthday party feedback, you know, I work really closely hand in hand with the birthday parties and the rentals, you know, from the original booking through the conclusion of the party. So, you know, everybody typically seems to have great experiences, but we're looking to standardize that feedback a little bit more. So we've actually just recently finished up a new standardized survey that we've started sending out already. So we're looking to gather that data and then, you know, be able to present it more formally moving forward.
All right, so financially, it's very difficult to give a bottom line number for the Take It Center because the program budgets are in different areas, the operation budgets in a different area. So in terms of the bottom line, it's very hard to tell if the building makes money or loses money because there's so many different revenue and expense sources coming in and out. So what we did highlight is the room rental revenue, which is a big part of what Paul does. And we see that it's trending in the right direction. We had some increases last year. We did budget conservatively for this year because we are losing a couple of renters. But in general, we're seeing a good trend of continuing to offer room rentals, you know, at a strong rate to balance our programming load. Birthday parties were down in 15-16, but recovered this year. And again, we're hoping to continue that trend. And then the transfers that come from daycare and other areas as well continue to go up, which means, you know, the facility is being used, so they're able to transfer more money over, which is always nice. The other thing, which can be viewed as a positive, I think, is that we're seeing a higher investment into the facility through capital projects. So the amount that we're reinvesting to keep the facility looking nice and looking good is continuing to go up. So that's a nice thing to see as well, that we can financially afford to reinvest in the facility as it gets used so much. So in general, financially, we feel like everything's trending. There's nothing that really sounds an alarm to say we really have to look at the way we're operating this facility from a financial perspective. Sorry for the overwhelming nature of this slide, but Paul and I spent a lot of time trying to tabulate this data to try and get an idea of how much this facility is really used. We reach out to our peer networks, we reach out to professional organizations to try and find out what other organizations are doing, and what we found is no one is really tracking this. So this is something that we're pretty proud of because it's pretty unique in recreation, that we took five what we call average weeks of programming here to take. Two in the summer, one in the fall, one in the winter, one in the spring. And we took the average amount of room usage for all of the weeks, each room in this facility, and compiled it into this chart. So what you're seeing here is the average amount of use per measured hours per day in an average week it takes. So what this does, so we looked for benchmarks, and it was difficult for us to find some. So the numbers here we think are pretty good. We're pretty impressed that in a normal week, the gym getting used 42 hours a week. That seems like a great number to us. The only other park district that we were able to find who did some other kind of benchmarking in this regard was Oak Park, and the only data they could give us was during peak time, 67% of their rooms are used, and during downtime, only 10% of their rooms are used. And we're confident that our numbers far exceed what they're doing. So from that perspective, in terms of using the facility, we think we're doing a really good job filling it up as best we can. With that being said, there's always room for improvement. So what we found, again, looking at this chart, is you can see here the art room is only used on average about 11 hours a week. So it's a really specified space, which may limit its access, but there's always creative ways to bring more things in there. So that's something we're going to look at working with, you know, programming staff on, renters on, to see if we can fill that space out a little bit. The other thing, which was pretty interesting to look at, is the early childhood wing is not used at all on Saturdays, which you would expect at a place like school. But is there an opportunity? We're not sure. So, you know, is there more opportunity that we can look into to make those rooms have different features when no one's in there on Saturdays? So that was something that struck us as interesting. And then, you know, you can see here, again, the community rooms are down a little bit. Again, you know, 2-4 hours a day for usage is pretty good. But we'll see with the fitness center moving into the activity room, we should see usage up here increase just because we're losing that space. So we're already kind of doing what we can to maximize space. And then to look at what other, you know, how can we convert spaces to capitalize on trends? You know, computer programming becomes a bigger issue. Do we look into a computer lab? STEM, science, technology, engineering, math classes. Do we look to have more of like a lab type room? So there's other options you can look at to try and maximize the use of the facility, you know, based on the rooms and the spaces that we have. But we're very excited about this chart. So in conclusion, again, future planning, the key to challenge with Paul coming up is to find space for everything. Our programming loads are continuing to increase. Our rentals hopefully will continue to increase. So Paul's going to be challenged to come up with creative solutions to make sure that he can accommodate the increased programming needs and the increased rental needs in addition to a new fitness center. So we're obviously preparing for that to open. We're looking at parking. And then, like I mentioned, we're looking at innovative rooms. So that concludes our presentation. Like Lisa mentioned, we'll do a tour at the conclusion of the board meeting, but now we'll open up to questions.
You had mentioned that we're losing a few renters. Why are we losing them? Why are they moving? Did you get
so back? One of the main ones was a private karate instructor, and he actually had bowel cancer, so he's just kind of working his way back into it. I've spoken with him a few times, so he's just, you know, it's up in the air how much he'll be back, and you know, he actually accounted for a couple $1,000, $2,000 every year. So when we did the budget, we, you know, wanted to account for
that. Do we have other instructors that can provide service for the clients he has?
So he's a little specialized. He works with special needs kids, okay, for martial arts. So, you know, he is like a private rental, so he has clients that he brings in and then rents his space out. So we do, you know, the private dojo instructors. They also do private schools as well, but they're more during the week. This guy was more on the weekends, so, you know, whether we can find somebody to fill that, it's really, you know, it's a huge.
So that's one isolated situation. Were there any other rentals that we're losing on a regular repeat basis?
Yeah, so that was the major one. But then again, with the losing the activity room downstairs, that's a rental space that, you know, we wanted to account for that loss.
Well, that's what I was going to get to next. Have you had any pushback? I know that you were looking into filling, you know, the band was down there, other groups have been using that space on a regular basis. You have advised them that you're offering them an alternative space. And they're satisfied with what those alternatives are?
Correct. We've already met with the Verizon band. We've given them options. Up here, we've given them two different options, a smaller room with a cheaper price in this room. We worked with them on storage needs, and then we're meeting with Congregation Hackathon next week or the week after to present them. Again, Paul did a great job giving them different options to say, you know, obviously it's not ideal. We have to move you from this room, but here's option A, B, and C, and you can choose the one that works best for your organization and your facility. So,
okay, and then I thought, and the last thing was I thought that the two of you did a good job working together this year on trying to bring Bobby Collins along when he had a hockey stick in his hand. Is next year's project going to be Chris Liner?
You've never seen me skate, Steve. That's all I have to say.
Exactly.
He's already a great goalie.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So, with the fitness area coming on stream later this fall, has there been any thought around, maybe this is for next year, options around using our lobby area? Our lobby area is pretty big, and it's actually two parts, pretty expansive. So as you get higher volume of people coming using the fitness center, using that entrance, there may be, what are your thoughts around, leveraging that space, making it, what's your thoughts on that space there?
I think flexibility is always important. It'd be interesting to see what type of usage, because we do use it now for rentals, but unfortunately when we rent that space, usually the rest of the facility has to close because no one wants to be in the lobby and have people walking by as they're celebrating their
festival. One of the thoughts that I had building on Andre's comment was, as the tremendous success of our impending fitness center develops, it would be nice to be able to encourage those attendees to perhaps to socialize with their neighbors and fellow fitness center members by putting that Nespresso or Keurig machine in there, maybe making a little bit of an alcove area somewhere for socialization in the lobby, or a little cafe.
We actually do have a little
You'll see on the tour that we go on shortly.
Yeah. There is a plate. We already have a plate.
Certainly, I don't know if Andre, that might be what you're alluding to as well, but absolutely, that's certainly a potential once the fitness center opens to make that more of a hangout space.
And actually, we utilize it right now for example, when NSSRA comes.
Yes.
And they come, and that's actually their social gathering place until their bus comes to pick them up to move them to another location, or they're waiting for everybody to get there. That space is used a lot for if kids are coming off the bus before they get moved to the next class. So we use it as a gathering place right now. But we have spoken about that, utilizing that area that's already built in the lobby to do coffee or Keurig cups or whatever as a welcoming, sit down and talk and with your neighbors.
That's so. Registration there as well. Which
yes.
And the other comment, just and I'm not familiar with it, but in my experience when my kids go to the park, that's a phase. And they would go to 2 or 3 a week sometimes a weekend. My experience back then is that the market for bar mitzvah space, oftentimes is bigger than this room. And folks like big parties, and when you said that somebody bring out the gym and the lobby for hors d'oeuvres, to me, my experience, that size party was more than normal. And something in this room would be kind of the exception, kind of small. And so my thought is that I'm not aware, but to the extent that there's some sort of outreach to the sixth grade parents whose kids are going to go through the bar mitzvah cycle next year, and have a bar mitzvah event night, so they can come in and take a tour and kind of visualize that. They can make some options, because I have to believe that if you go through a big party, a lot of people throw big parties, that it'd be more convenient here and less expensive than hosting something in a big ballroom downtown or somewhere else.
Sure.
And I don't know to what extent that's on the way of seeing some of those, or they may just think the only place to have it is here. So that's something you want to think about from a marketing perspective in terms of the, and again, it's a sixth grade parents, you could host an open house one night and say...
Andre, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And I think staff will look into that.
That's a good
idea.
Sixth
grade parents are already freaking out about what that's going to be, and that's the time to guess.
And this is a great option.
All right.
Okay.
Renting a bus, and she had a bunch of kids down in the Stanley Club.
Terrific. Thank you very much. And then one last question, and this is just my ignorance. Do the early childhood programs here Monday through Friday use the gym, our main gym?
Oh, absolutely.
So they're able to get through the building and that. So the gym is used 7 days a week during the day and after school.
Our gym is probably our biggest asset.
Yeah.
Okay.
The gym's used by Children's Circle, DJK, and ELC time during the day, and also other classes. So.
Yep.
With respect to promotion.
Yeah.
Lisa, aren't you on the board of the Chamber of Commerce?
I am.
Yeah. That's a wonderful opportunity. A couple times I've come here and the place has been packed and they've been doing, whether it's real estate training or some other organization has been here. In fact, this is the point where we didn't have enough parking, but we already talked about that.
Yep.
And that's just a wonderful thing. And then there's this North Shore Consortium of, I don't know, visitor things. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, we're a member.
We're a member of that.
Member of that too. Okay,
yes.
We're good. Okay, good.
We are good.
Right.
Dr. Lisa, do you have anything?
Terrific, thank you very much. So the last thing is going to be this executive session or not?
We don't have to. We do not have to go to executive.
Everybody's satisfied.
We are satisfied, yeah. Yep. We just have to see if he wants to go on the tour, whether we have adjourn the meeting or not.
Who is interested amongst the commissioners on taking a walking tour of the building today? So if we're going to do that, there's more than one of us. We can't really adjourn the meeting yet.
You can, if there's more than two of you, we have to wait till we get back to adjourn the meeting.
Right. Since there's going to be more than two of us taking the tour, we're still effectively marching along as a board.
Okay.
And then we come back to no action.
And then, right, there's no action. We just come back and adjourn the meeting. That makes sense? All right. Paul and Mike, lead away. You can stop. All right, we're back from the tour.
Is it recording? Do you remember recording?
No, I shut it off. Pause. All right. Just have to make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Unanimous.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Great meeting.
Thank you.